Now, it has to be said that in terms of hard historical fact, Bodhidharma is a rather hazy figure. He shifts through the mists of the past. But as a legend, as a myth, Bodhidharma is immensely powerful. He's an enormous, a huge symbolic presence who looms over the entire Chinese, Japanese and Korean Zen traditions. In East Asian Buddhist art, Bodhidharma is depicted as a very powerful figure, as many of these Zen and Chan masters are, a very powerful figure in swirling robes with great bulging eyes and thick, tangled eyebrows and beard. And he's going along with a staff, or he's seated, rooted in meditation. The question that is repeatedly asked in the Zen tradition, a kind of koan, which you're to go away and meditate on, is why did Bodhidharma come from the West? The West meaning India. Why did Bodhidharma come from the West? And your master looks at you when he puts this question, why did Bodhidharma come from the West? And he wants an answer. He wants an answer from your realization. He's not interested in history or legend or facts or figures. He wants you to tell him what the transmission was. He wants you to tell him. He wants a direct response. Sometimes it's clear that the response he wants, well, it's got to come from another dimension, because one Zen master says, if you speak in response to this question, you get 50 blows. If you stay silent in response to this question, you get 50 blows. How will you speak? Probably run out the shrine room. Bodhidharma lived sometime in the 6th century, and he was born into a royal family in South India. At a young age, he left home. He studied the Dharma in South India, practiced under a number of teachers. And at some point, he received the special mind-to-mind transmission that had started with the Buddha holding up the golden flower to Mahakashyapa. Out of compassion, Bodhidharma undertook the dangerous sea voyage from India to China, and his first stop was in the capital city of Liang. And here, he was invited to the court of our good friend, Emperor Wu. Now, we're not sure whether this meeting with Emperor Wu occurred before or after the encounter with Mahasattva Fu. Whatever. The emperor wanted to talk about Buddhism with Bodhidharma, this new Indian monk, new in town, who had, apparently, something a bit special. Something a bit fresh and new, the latest Indian teachings. So the meeting took place in the court, and Emperor Wu sat on his great throne with Bodhidharma in his simple patched robes and his bulging eyes before him. And Emperor Wu said, I've built monasteries and I've built temples. I've erected stupas. I support monks. I publish texts. What merit, what virtue have I gained? Very interested in merit, because he's done all these good deeds, he must have accumulated good karma, so he must be going to get a really good reward, you know, heaven, or even some sort of spiritual attainment, or, you know, a special place in the Buddhist tradition, in the Buddhist pantheon. So what merit have I gained from all this? And Bodhidharma just said flatly, no merit at all. And Emperor Wu was astonished. Oh, why no merit? And Bodhidharma replied, all those things you've done are all very well, but they're just shadows following the form. For real lasting virtue, you need to know, to see directly reality as it is. We can smile at Emperor Wu, but maybe just look into yourself. How much do you do selflessly out of your realization, such as it is? And how much do you do things for reward? Maybe not heaven, but certainly being thought well of. And when we don't get the praise, the promotion that we think is our due, well, we can start having other thoughts. So then Emperor Wu, because Bodhidharma is speaking about reality, he thought he'd shift the ground and, you know, get on to high, deep topics. Maybe that would open up another discussion. So he said to Bodhidharma, "What is the highest meaning of the holy truths?" Bodhidharma replied, "A vast emptiness, no holiness." So Emperor Wu, being a bit clever, said, "Who is standing before me? Everything is vast emptiness. Who is standing before me? Who are you?" And Bodhidharma replied, "I don't know." And just left. He left, he crossed the Yangtze River, and he found his way to the remote Shaolin Monastery. And Emperor Wu, after he'd gone, said to Master Qi, "Oh, what was all that about?" And Master Qi said, "Don't you know? Don't you know that that was Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva of compassion, communicating the mind seal of all the Buddhas, communicating enlightenment?" So Emperor Wu thought, "Oh, I've really missed a chance." So he said to Bodhidharma, "Well, let's send for him. Let's send an emissary to bring him back. An imperial emissary to bring him back." And Master Qi wisely said, "Even if the whole country went to bring him, they would never bring him back." Bodhidharma has left more than the country of Liang. So this story, which is, by the way, another one of these Kung An's, another one of these stories on which you have to meditate. You're taught, you know, that you have to meditate on this to penetrate its meaning. What did Bodhidharma mean in that conversation? In fact, they even ask, "Well, who got the best out of the exchange, Bodhidharma or Emperor Wu?" They don't sort of assume that, you know, that Bodhidharma necessarily won. And as I've said, the teacher doesn't want an explanation. He wants your realization.